Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. We're going to talk some SEC football, focusing on Mississippi State and Ole Miss. For the next few minutes, we're glad you're with us today. And let's get started. The Bulldogs at home opening SEC play Saturday night at 8:15. Those games, it might get started, Logan, about 8:30. But it's the first week of SEC on SEC violence. Another week before that starts for Ole Miss, the Rebels at home Saturday afternoon at 2:30 against Fresno State. So we're going to hit both of those games. Logan, let's start with the season openers last week. Mississippi State winning by a couple of scores against Southern Miss. Ole Miss winning by a couple of more against Tennessee Martin, 76-3, the most points scored by the Rebels since the 30s. What did you see, Logan, in the first game for State against Southern Miss?
Saw a lot of first game jitters, especially in that first quarter. Mississippi State really just couldn't get out of its own way in that first quarter, made a lot of mistakes, a lot of uncharacteristic mistakes by some of those guys. You know, you look at Ashton Shumpert fumbling into the end zone on the opening drive, Fred Ross muffing a punt, which led to a Southern Miss field goal, a blown coverage led to a wide open touchdown for Southern Miss, the only touchdown that they had in that game. And then the onside kick coming after that, Mississippi State didn't jump on that one. So, you know, just really wasn't a clean first quarter at all for Mississippi State. And they kind of, I guess, got into a scramble mode after that, just started trying to do a little bit too much, you know, trying to be too perfect in a lot of the things that they did, and, you know, just really weren't, you know, playing at the level that you kind of expected them to. But you have to give a lot of credit to Southern Miss, too. They were a much improved team from what I saw a year ago from them, had a great home crowd, the largest crowd ever to watch a game there at the Rock, and they're gonna win some games this year. They're a better team than they were a year ago, and yeah, they threw everything they had at Mississippi State. Mississippi State, you know, kind of kept things, you know, pretty vanilla on both sides of the ball. Really didn't show a whole lot. Dak Prescott only ran the ball once in the first half, and of course, you know, Parrish, anytime you know Mississippi State's offense is clicking, Dak Prescott on the ground is a big part of that. Didn't see a whole lot of that during that ball game, but they got a lot of stuff they need to clean up this week against LSU.
At what point did State become more comfortable in that game and settle in? You mentioned some of the jitters there at the beginning.
Really, that goal line stand right there before the half, Southern Miss drove down, had a trick play to get them down to the goal line. It was a fantastic trick play. I don't know that I've ever even seen that play before, but that got them down to the three-yard line, and they first and goal from the three, and they ran it up the middle four straight plays, and Mississippi State stopped them at the goal line. That was a big play for them. State was holding a 14-10 lead at that point, and then they came out in the second half and started scoring and kind of put the game at ease then. But they really weren't able to create enough separation to get a lot of those backups in, which they wanted to do during that ball game. They wanted to get a lot of those redshirt freshmen and first-year junior college players onto the field and get them a little bit of experience, a little bit of playing time under the belt, and they just weren't able to do that until that last drive of the ball game.
You know, I actually watched a good bit of that game since it started so late. And by the time Southern got down to that, what, two-yard line with that goal line stand, I had concluded already that Mississippi State was the much more physical and much stronger team on the lines. And so I don't know why, you know, Southern Miss at that point wanted to run the ball right at them four straight times, because that did not work. And obviously that was a big part of that game. I thought Southern had a pretty good plan, Logan, for offsetting a lack of physicality. I thought they swung the ball around pretty good, and they got some yards, and they did some things that way. But looking at Ole Miss and their season opener, you mentioned execution. I thought that was the biggest thing for Ole Miss to take away from a 76-3 win over Tennessee Martin. I mean, every statistic, every accomplishment in a game like that comes with a little bit of an asterisk because of the level of competition. Now I'm a big proponent of SEC teams playing these FCS teams, the former 1AA. You know, I think it's better if that game comes later in the season. I mean, when it comes in the season opener, yes, you get to play a lot of people, you get to work out some kinks and things like that. Last year for Ole Miss, that game came in November against Presbyterian, And it comes at a time in that situation when you can rest some people, hold back some people who are injured, you know, and play. You can always play a lot of folks, and Ole Miss did, you know, against Tennessee Martin. But be that as it may, the Rebels put a lot of points on the board. And when you look at all those numbers, you have to hone in and look at the execution. How did they execute? They really did execute better on the offensive line and in the run game. And that's been a big talking point for that team through the month of August, for this Ole Miss team through the month of August, trying to get better in the run game. I thought they did that. Every running back they put in the game ran well. There was good blocking. A key point to look at here, there was only one negative yardage play for Ole Miss, only one negative yardage run. There was a ball that was snapped over Chad Kelly's head early in the game. But Ole Miss, when they handed it off, they went forward. They didn't always do that last year. And so that was big to watch. And they got a lot of those 6, 7, and 8 yard runs that moved the chains. So good execution in the run game. There was good execution for all three quarterbacks. Okay. You know, they played well. They knew they were going to play three, and all of them played three and played well. And in fact, at the end of the game, you know, when Ole Miss was really trying to just run out the clock, you know, you didn't have a scrub quarterback to put in there. I mean, you had three guys who had all competed for the starting job. It ended up being Devontae Kincaid on the field mostly at that time, but it wasn't like they had a young guy who they ran into the game who was confused and didn't know the offense. So it, you know, in some ways it looked like Ole Miss might have been running up the score, but they were just running their offense. I mean, you get a guy like DK Buford, their fifth running back, he's in a game scoring a touchdown as well. You know, you don't put a guy like that in the game and tell him to lay down. You want him to be hungry when he gets on the field. So good execution in the run game. I thought the quarterbacks were accurate for the most part. Chad Kelly missed barely on a couple of throws to the end zone that could have been touchdowns. He came back, you know, and corrected that and hit some nice deep touchdown throws, one to Markell Pack and another to Cody Core. So all three quarterbacks played well. The defense was just okay. Didn't dominate in the way you think that Ole Miss might dominate against a team like Tennessee Martin. Martin averaged 3 yards per carry. It's what they do when they run their offense. You know, they're a running team. But there weren't a lot of tackles for loss for Ole Miss. Ole Miss wasn't really dominating at the line of scrimmage. And I think this had to do with how many players Ole Miss played and played early, substituting freely throughout the game. I mean, most of those starters might only have played about 13, 14, or 15 snaps. A lot of down-the-depth-chart guys really got a lot of time in the season opener for Ole Miss. But the thing I took away from that game most was that the Rebels came out and executed. Now, you know, they scored the most points since 1938. They played a lot of FCS games since then. You know, you start going back to the 30s when it's the last time you did something. That's pretty significant, and I thought the Ole Miss was pretty crisp for the opener.
Yeah, Mississippi State, the only area of concern that I saw in that game, you know, outside of the, you know, the, like I said earlier, their uncharacteristic miscues there early in the game, I think that stuff is easy to correct. It probably just, you know, first game and excited to get on the field, just all that kind of type stuff. But, you know, the thing that was concerning to me was just the play of the secondary. You know, you've got a new defense coordinator in Manny Diaz. The secondary was an area of concern for Mississippi State a year ago with a lot of big plays. They didn't really allow a whole lot of big plays during that ball game, but a lot of play action passes and a lot of wide open receivers right there across the middle. And talking to some of the players after the game, and Manny Diaz as well, they talked about, you know, Southern Miss do a lot of things that they weren't prepared for. You know, it's the first game this season, don't have any film on a lot of those things. So they threw some things at them that they weren't really expecting. They had to kind of adjust on the fly to some of those things. And on the play action passes, a lot of the linebackers bit on the run, and that's what allowed the wide open receivers right over their head. They would just kind of dump it off, you know, between the linebackers and the safeties right there. And there was just kind of a pocket in that zone where they just were consistently feeding the ball. But a lot of the things that they said was, you know, the offensive linemen were actually getting out a little further than they were supposed to in their blocking scheme. They were actually selling the run with the offensive linemen, you know, breaking out of that pass, you know, little area that you have there at the line of scrimmage. They were kind of getting beyond that and going straight towards the linebackers, and that's really not supposed to be allowed. So that's kind of what, you know, I was told, you know, that was going on.
They were cheating at Southern. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I was heard. That's what I was told by the players, that they, you know, they were, the linemen were getting a little further downfield than what they were supposed to.
Looking ahead, Logan, let's talk about three things to watch as these teams move into week two. We'll start with Ole Miss. Three things I would like to see from the Rebels this week. Number one is, can they maintain that consistency in the run game? The last time Ole Miss played an FCS team before Tennessee Martin was Presbyterian in November of last year, they ran for 402 yards. So in their last two games against FCS opponents, they have rushed for almost 750 yards. Now, can they maintain consistency this week as the competition increases a little bit against Fresno State? I think they will. I like a lot of what I've seen in this run game, and I know how hard they've worked to improve. Competition's going to increase a little bit with Fresno State, but this is a Fresno team that was pretty weak defensively last year. And in the categories ranked among 125 FBS teams, you know, Fresno was like 95 or lower in most of them, you know, the run defense included. So a good test for Ole Miss for the second week, you know, to step up a little bit and kind of a gradual increase there before going to Alabama and taking a big step up in competition in week three. And Ole Miss is going to have to run the ball and protect with some restructuring going on this offensive line. Laramie Tunsil, you know, unless somebody comes back from lunch at the NCAA on Friday and is feeling benevolent and picks up the phone and calls Ross Bjork and says, hey, that Tunsil kid, he's pretty swell. Why don't y'all let him play? You know, unless they get a call like that on Friday, Laramie Tunsil is going to sit out for a second consecutive game. No clear answer on when that issue is going to be resolved. So there's some restructuring going on along the offensive line there. They tried Rod Taylor at left tackle a little bit earlier this week. So I want to see if that line can run the ball and can also protect. You know, those quarterbacks were pretty vertical last week, not really pressured. Fresno State, while not getting a lot done defensively last year, has been a team that gets pressure, gets into the opponent's backfield. They get it with sacks. They get it with tackles for loss. That's kind of a trademark what they do defensively. They had 5 sacks against Abilene Christian. And while that is an FCS opponent, so you put that asterisk up there, it's the 9th time in about 3 years that Fresno has had 5 or more sacks in a game. So getting to the quarterback is a priority for them, and they've done that pretty successfully. I also want to see if these quarterbacks can be consistent. You know, whether that's Chad Kelly, Ryan Buchanan, Devontae Kincaid, all of them played well against Tennessee Martin. Can they bring that consistency of performance now, or will somebody drop off a little bit and maybe we began to see some separation in that quarterback competition? And the third thing I want to see from Ole Miss is defensively, are they going to tackle better? But what impact will C.J. Johnson make? He's expected to play. He was suspended for the opener for violation of team rules. Every time I hear that, Logan, I ask media relations, hey, can you guys get us a list of team rules? You know, can y'all just get us a list so we know what we're working with? So C.J. sits out the opener. He's back. Does that inspire the guys around him? Do they tackle better? I think they're going to tackle better. I think they got that corrected this week in practice. But the other thing to remember about C.J. Johnson coming back is that's going to be his first start at linebacker. And there were some issues at that position last week in getting the defensive front aligned correctly. You know, some players were a little bit out of position, you know, and some guys were moving to where they needed to be right before the snap, you know, a little bit of late movement there. And Hugh Freeze put that on his middle linebackers. So maybe that changes with C.J. Johnson. Those are three things that I'll keep an eye on for Ole Miss against Fresno State.
A few of the things that I'm going to be watching in the LSU game this weekend is, you know, we already talked about it a little bit, the play of the secondary. And, you know, can they fill some of those holes that we saw last weekend? You know, Southern Miss passed for 311 yards. And, you know, really wasn't expecting that many. You know, we expected Southern Miss maybe to throw the ball a little bit more because they were trailing, but nothing to the level of success that Nick Mullins had. Tevez Calhoun, Mississippi State starting cornerback, is expected to be back this week. He set out the season opener with a knee injury. You know, really, you know, we don't get to watch practice, so I don't know exactly how much he's going through drills and stuff this week. But we were told by Dan Mullen he expects him to come back. He said Monday that he, or Tuesday when he had his press conference, that Calhoun still had a little bit of swelling on his knee. So we'll have to kind of watch that in pregame and see if Calhoun can come back. I think that would help, you know, a lot of those deficiencies that we saw in the secondary. Another thing Mississippi State is going to have to do is they're going to have to get back to their regular offense. Obviously, you know, I mentioned earlier, Dak Prescott's a big part of that when he tucks the ball and runs, and that's a big part of their ground game. And Dak Prescott didn't do a whole lot of that. He still led the team in rushing. I think he had 72 yards and a touchdown against Southern Miss. But there were only two designed quarterback runs during that ball game. You know, one of them was on a third down play early in the first half, and then another play in the second half. But a lot of those were just read options when he did take it. I only think he carried the ball about seven times in that opener. So they're going to have to give him the ball a little bit more against LSU. And another thing that Mississippi State's going to have to do, they're going to have to play defense the way that they did in Death Valley last year. They limited LSU to 80, I think it was, let's see, I got it right here, 89 yards on the ground, and 38 of those yards were Leonard Fournette. You know, so they limited, you know, their top tailback to 38 yards, 89 yards on the ground. Mississippi State, on the other hand, rushed for over 300 yards, nearly 400. They had 570 total yards against LSU last year. So they really did a good job defensively against the Tigers last year. The score was, you know, 17-3 at halftime. Mississippi State's defense didn't allow a touchdown to LSU until 12 minutes to go in that ball game a year ago. So if they can have another repeat performance like that this year, then things would definitely be on Mississippi State's favor, especially playing at home.
Well, Ole Miss and Fresno State, not a long history of playing one another, certainly not like Mississippi State and LSU. They do have a little bit of recent history, Ole Miss winning both games in a home-and-home contract, winning pretty big in 2010 in Oxford, like 55-38, and then going out to Fresno in 2011 and winning also, one of only two wins for Ole Miss in what would become the last season for Houston Nutt as coach. A couple of interesting connections here. T. Shepard, an Ole Miss cornerback, playing for the first time this year as a Fresno kid. He signed with Notre Dame out of high school, ended up transferring away from Notre Dame, played junior college, got to Ole Miss last year and was injured and then redshirted. At the time of his injury last year, Shepard was called by Hugh Freeze, arguably the Rebels' best cover corner. So really a significant loss at that time a year ago. So he's a Fresno kid. Another interesting connection is Marcus Woodson, former Ole Miss player, is the secondary coach at Fresno State. He's now in his second season, and he's kind of followed that path of connections, Logan, that so many of these players have when they keep in touch with their former coaches. It was a former coach who hired him. David Saunders was on the staff at Ole Miss as an administrative assistant when Woodson played. You know, he hired Woodson at Millsaps. Then Woodson's secondary coach, Mike McIntyre, who is now the head coach of Colorado, recommended him for jobs at Charleston Southern, an FCS team, and then also at Fresno State, where he is now. So he'll be coming back to Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. And, you know, really, this is a game where the Rebels, if they execute, should not have a problem. I think they're like four touchdown favorites. I put them as 42-17 winners on the blog. Let's finish up, Logan, with you with the LSU game a little bit. It looks like State is the pick of a lot of people to win this game, and a lot of that has to do with the fact of LSU hasn't played yet. You know, they canceled their season opener against McNeese. I think they ran like five plays, and that was it. Then the weather came. They're not going to make up that game. They paid McNeese. McNeese got the money. But there's no experience really right now for Brandon Harris at quarterback. This is going to be his season opener. What type of impact do you think that has on the game?
Well, yeah, he looked very well, very good late in that game against Mississippi State last year, threw a couple touchdown passes and kind of started to lead that comeback against Mississippi State's backups a year ago, so much so that Mississippi State had to put their starters back in and make a game-saving interception on the goal line to actually come out of Death Valley a winner last year. I mean, they were 34-10 going into that fourth quarter, and you know, LSU scored 19 points just in a hurry. So you know, he can definitely put points up in a hurry, leading that offense. And you know, the thing that Mississippi State coaches seem to be concerned about this week was the fact, like you mentioned, they don't have a whole lot of game film to go off of, and LSU is breaking in an entirely new defense, new defense coordinator. You know, you got Ed Ogeron back, you know, coaching the defensive line there at LSU. So a lot of uncertainties on defense, exactly what LSU is going to do. They don't have a whole lot of film to go off of last week. They only ran, one series on offense and I think a couple plays on defense, and that's been about it. So they really don't know exactly what they're getting into. They're having to go back to, you know, different schemes that these coaches ran at different schools. They're watching a lot of like Clemson game film and different things like that. So you really don't have these defensive coaches' schemes on film with the current personnel that they have there at LSU. And as you know, Paris, LSU always has a really good defense. So we'll have to see what they've got this year. You don't have any game film to go off of. So Mississippi State's just going to have to kind of wing it, I guess.
Yeah, always very fast and a lot of athleticism on that LSU defense. Hey, folks, we thank you for being with us today as we talk a little SEC football. We'll be back next week. Come join us.